Hello. This may not be the kind of thing you want to tune into if you wanted heavy breathing. You may be able to tell that I'm not actually very well. These things happen. But since I can't sleep and I have to sit up when I'm like this, I thought I might as well do some breathing and some talking to help my chest. Don't worry, I'm not at death's door or anything, even if it feels like I probably could start my own chemist's, pharmacy, with all the different ailments I've had the last few months. I shall not dwell upon that. So I thought I'd keep company because I need the company basically, and maybe you get the same, you feel a bit rougher. You feel a bit sleepless and like you need a friend, and I'm here and you can pretend that you're looking after me or something. We're under a cover, having a cuddle, that sort of thing. Yeah. And I'm just reading to you in my doing my Rudolph impression. I think my nose possibly is glowing. Sometimes it feels like it's got its own heartbeat. So dosed up with all sorts of things, painkillers and some stuff. Yeah, so well, I don't know what I'm waiting for really. I think the last place I got to in these things is page 143, talking about popcorn. Not enough food is orally, with an A, orally satisfying in my opinion. The sizzle of bacon is nice. The whir of a salad spinner can yield some pleasure. But when a pan of corn starts popping to that sound of little nuggets of joy. I wonder if you made popcorn to go on the tree. Poppy Day. There are only a handful of people walking this earth who foretore were alive in the First World War. This book is a bit old, so I should think that most of them have actually passed away now. Every year that passes leaves us with fewer survivors of the Second World War. They were called the World Wars, but actually they were more or less in Europe. So forgive me if you feel it doesn't chime with you. This is from a book I'm reading, so. Anyway. In today's cynical and materialistic culture, it perhaps wouldn't be surprising to see the younger generation ignore Remembrance Day. But given the number of teenagers and children who wear their poppies with pride, we can be safe in the knowledge that even when all those brave men and women are gone, we will remember them. This year's been one of the centenary commemorations of making sure I was choosing the right word. And it's been amazing, the artwork that people have produced in churches and community centres all up and down the country. Been very moving. And there's still so much going on in the world that we haven't all learnt the lesson of it. Pre-dessert. And you thought an amuse-bouche was good. Having stuffed your face full of entrees, hors d'oeuvres, starters and main course, and while you're waiting for your pudding, along comes a mini-dessert that you weren't expecting. Heaven. The man who thought this up, and it definitely was a man, deserves a knighthood, or possibly a sainthood. Pudding Club. In 1985, a group of friends, fed up with being offered Black Forest ghetto and defrosted cheesecake at the end of meals in restaurants, founded a society to bring back the great British pudding. The Pudding Club is based at the Three Ways House Hotel in Mickleton, Gloucestershire, and opens its doors to members and non-members alike. Diners will be treated to a very light main course, perhaps a small pasta dish, or salmon with new potatoes. But then the real proceedings will commence. 7 gigantic puddings are paraded in front of the assembled guests, followed by vats of custard. The puds will vary from session to session, but you can expect the traditional sticky coffee pudding, spotted dick, and syrup sponge, alongside less well-known dishes such as Sussex Pond. I'm so sorry, pardon me. Diners are allowed as many helpings as they want, but they must finish what is in their bowl before embarking upon a new course. It can be quite a struggle. But it's bloody well worth it. Here's another one. The purple ones in a tin of chocolates. A friend once told me that Cadbury had released a limited edition tin of chocolates that contained only the purple ones. If it did exist, then it was as elusive as the Holy Grail, because I never found one. It's especially at this time of the year that you find tins of chocolates in the UK. Although they're quite often in a plastic container now instead of a metallic tin of, I suppose it's aluminium, or it might be steel. But you used to get a £2 in weight tin full of different varieties. And then they would last all over the festive season, passed around until the ones that were left were all the ones nobody liked. And in my house, nobody liked the strawberry creams and the orange creams. We all went for the chewy toffees and the nutty ones and the cracknel and nougat. A lot of those have been phased out now as not being popular flavours, but when my sister married, it turned out that her new husband's family only liked the soft fudge, the orange cream, and the strawberry cream. So when we visited and found all the best ones were left, we knew she had married correctly, because we swapped our tins. And everyone was happy. And from then on, we quite often bagged up the sweets we don't normally eat and passed them over. And they did the same. Of course, it all changed when they cut down on the flavours. But for a few years there. Anyway, the next P. Pyramids. The single greatest engineering feat in the history of mankind. And that's all he's put. And then there's pyramid tea bags. The single greatest engineering feat in the history of tea and cake. Actually, I don't think I've seen pyramid bags for a while. Now we're on to letter Q. A quarter of. Your mum has given you 10p for being good. You walk down the road to the corner shop. Standing on tiptoe, you can just about see over the counter. And what awaits you is the sight of jars of sweets as far as the eye can see. Humbugs, mint imperials, tea cakes, sweet tobacco, chocolate raisins, and aniseed balls. Ooh. Cough candies, sherbet pips, bonbons, licorice pipes, pink shrimps, chocolate mice, sweet peanuts, fruit gums, wine gums, if you had ID, shoelaces, butterscotch, butterscotch creams, rhubarb and custard, mojos, blackjacks, fruit salads, gobstoppers, dolly mixtures, all sorts, candy cigarettes, peanut brittle, coconut mushrooms, macaroons, cola cubes, midget gems, licorice torpedoes, pomfret cakes, sour apples, milk bottles, fizzy Coke bottles, cherry lips, floral gums, Parma violets, although no one ever bought those. And I remember bonbons. They came in lemon, or vanilla, or strawberry. I could do with a cough drop now. It's rare to find a selection like that nowadays. And also finding someone under the age of 90 who actually likes Parma violets. I like Parma violets, actually. I haven't said that. I used to get them in a tiny little tin. And they dissolved on your tongue. And they seemed so posh to me. Because they came in their own tiny little tin when I was given them. I guess it makes it more special when you do. When you do find someone every now and again walking the street on some small market town or village, a little shop will appear as you round a corner, looking somewhat like Emily's shop in Backpuss. With a bay window and a squeaky hanging sign, you peer in through the glass even, and are transported back to the past. Thank you. Thankfully for nostalgia addicts, there are now online versions of our childhood sweet shops so that we can finish the job of rotting our teeth. They might not be as romantic and endearing as the originals, but at least they still sell sweet tobacco. Michael Parker, founder of the online sweet shop, a quarter of, gets all nostalgic about the confection of his youth. This is a little interview. How did a quarter of come about? A quarter of started life in the Plough Inn, Winchmore Hill in Bucks, as my brother and I talked over a pint about the sweets we remembered as children. We remembered classics like the Anglo Bubbly, Wham Bars, Shrimps and Sherbet Pips, and lamented their disappearance. I was at the time running my own marketing company and decided to look into whether they had disappeared altogether, and to my utter delight found the vast majority of the sweets remembered were still being made. Thinking what a shame it was that the disappearance of the corner shop was causing these classic sweets to potentially disappear, I decided to attempt to recreate the sweet shop that I remembered. A chocolate box in Beaconsfield on the web. And so the quarter of was born. I was determined to create a shop that would bring back memories, not just a flogging shop. For you who don't know what that means, in this context. Anyway, when you're selling something, it's referred to as you're flogging it. What you're flogging today. That sort of thing. Nothing to do with leather implements in this instance. I was determined to create a shop that would bring back memories, not just a flogging shop. So enlisted the help of Whizzer and Chips cartoonist Colin Whitlock, who created the heart and soul of the website, and who continues to create fantastic cartoons for the site to this day. Quarterhoof still has 600 sweets, from sweet tobacco to gobstoppers, from fizzy cola bottles to space dust, and loads more. What are your top 10 sellers? Number one is flying saucers. They were always like a sort of styrofoam stuff. Space dust was strawberry. You used to get that in like a long plastic straw and you'd have to tip it down your throat. If you weren't careful, you could choke on it. Sweet tobacco was, it was kind of a soft fondant that was brown, and I'm not sure if it ever did actually taste of tobacco, or was more like a chocolate that had been mixed with something to reduce its chocolatiness. White chocolate fish and chips. They were just in the shape of those things. Foiled ice cups. Yes, practically just icing sugar in a tiny little, like a tiny little cake case. Sweet peanuts. They were the ones, I think, that were just really peanuts in chocolate, I think. I don't remember having those. Barrett's candy shrimps. They were white and pink. Chewing nuts. Don't remember those. It must have been like a nutty toffee. And then milk teeth. Yeah, that was kind of a sweet white stuff. A bit like the shape. They were shaped like teeth. It's a bit gruesome, really, actually. I suppose these are all traditional things that were years ago. They really were quite gruesome. And the number 10 is Anglo Bubbly Bubblegum. Ah, bubblegum. I suppose we all remember trying to make that bubble with your tongue and accidentally blowing too hard so it shot out your mouth. I remember getting bubble gum in my hair. I've always had very long hair, and a boy did it on purpose. But I managed to get home, and it might have taken a while. I think I rubbed olive oil into it. Something that helped it not be so sticky, and we managed to tease it out, more or less strand by strand of hair. Boys nasty sometimes when they're young. I suppose girls can be too. Although I'm pretty sure I was practically perfect in every way. Next question. Are there any classic confections of yesteryear that you are still trying to track down? We have recently had a real coup and found two absolute classics that we've been searching for ages. One is Chelsea Whoppers, a kind of chocolatey gooey fudge covered in chocolate powder. And the other is Crispits, little round chocolate nuggets with their, turn the page, with bits of coconut and crispy rice. We were getting so many emails asking for them that a couple of years ago we set ourselves the challenge of bringing them back. We eventually found that they were still being made by an old-fashioned sweet maker in Scotland, but we can't tell you who he is, as it's a closely guarded secret. Other coups in the past have been sweet tobacco, coconut strands dipped in chocolate that look very much like tobacco, and cherry lips, which weren't as easy to find either. Sadly, the sweet bars we get asked for most now are impossible to get, as they are no longer manufactured. Aztec bars, Texan bars, Pacers and Spangles have been relegated to the sweet cemetery. Very sad. Although very occasionally there is light at the end of the tunnel. A couple of years ago, Nestlé started a production of Texan bars for a limited period of 6 weeks. A Texan frenzy followed, and we sold 30,000 bars. It just goes to show the power of nostalgia. Sweets really strike a chord with people. I remember Spangles. They're a bit like Polo mints, but were boiled sweets in different flavours. Very hard. Probably break our teeth on them today. What is the farthest flung location you have shipped to? We send sweets mainly to homesick expatriates all the time. We are constantly working to reduce international postage costs, as we know that Brits living overseas often crave products that are classically British. We regularly send to Japan, New Zealand, Australia, South Africa, and the Middle East. Do you have a personal favourite that you sell? It's too difficult to just pick one. The one sweet that started the whole thing off was the Anglo Bubbly, so we can't leave that one out. But Space Dust is definitely up there. Who can forget pouring stuff in and letting it pop away? Classic memories. Also, a really iconic sweet for me would be the brightly coloured plastic fruit filled with sherbet. Very kitsch, very 70s. Lastly, I could go on for ages here. I love our oversized sweets, like our massive jumbo gobstoppers, the size of a cricket ball. Imagine how long it would take you to suck through that. Our massive marshmallow cables are very, very long. How much does your staff spend on trips to the dentist each year? We have an eat while you like while at work eat what you like while at work policy, as we think everyone should know what they're working with. There have been some perks to working here. There have to be. While it's common to see the guys out in the warehouse walking around with a lolly sticking out of their mouth, I'm happy to say that most of us abide by the everything in moderation philosophy. Besides, I can honestly say that when you are surrounded by thousands of sweets all day, every day, the desire dissipates somewhat. And I never thought I'd say that, as I've got a very sweet tooth. Apparently that's what they used to say to people who worked at Cadbury's years ago, that to stop them stealing whilst on the production line, they just said, have as many as you like. And they soon got sick of them, got the stomach ache. And then the problem was over. The last part of Q is quiet carriages. So pissed off were travellers at having to sit next to people shouting, "I'm on a train," down their mobile phones. The train companies have created separate carriages from which such antisocial individuals are banned. So are people with iPods and their incessant ch-ch-ch songs from the hit parade that are loud enough to annoy but not quite sufficient for you to work out what they're bloody listening to. As all seasoned train passengers know, the commuting journey is an important place to catch up on sleep. Now, if they could just add snores to the banned list. Well, talking about snores, I think I'll try again. Thank you for keeping me company. I hope you didn't mind listening to me. Or that you found some comfort if you're by yourself. I appreciate your company. Thank you for the courage.